Hey. You know what time it is. It is Higher Ground with Dr. Holt, one of the best radio show podcasts in the nation. I tell you what, I always said every Saturday, stop what you're doing. Get your favorite cereal. Get your hot cup of coffee. Get whatever creamer you want. You know, we always say, hey, it's your choice. You like Captain Crunch, Fruit Loops, Frosted Flakes, cream of wheat oatmeal. Get your cereal. Get your coffee. Let's get going today. You're listening to Higher Ground with Dr. Holt. And for those that's just beginning to tune in and learn about our show, Higher Ground is a show that talks about having those tough and spirited and brave conversations in regards to mental health, equity, bullying, and criminal justice reform. It's one of my visions to be able to create a platform where we can have those real good, thorough, tough discussions in regards to mental health and different areas of criminal justice, equity, and bullying in our community and our nation. On today, we have a great hot topic on today. We've been talking all throughout the month about trauma and how trauma affects individuals and how it affects the brain, how it has neurological effects to the brain, how trauma affects the body, the individual. Last week, we closed out on PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. And so today, we want to talk about another traumatic event that happens with a lot of children, and that's bullying. And so today, we're talking about stop bullying. Yes, we had to hit bullying. We will look into doing a lot of work on broadcasting on bullying in October. October is anti-bullying, National Anti-Bullying Month. But today we want to just take some time to talk about bullying. It's one of my great expertise. For those that don't know a lot of my work, I probably don't talk enough about my work on the show. But just so that you know that there's four major areas of my expertise outside of mental health, and that number one is trauma. I'm a certified traumatologist and trauma specialist and trauma practitioner. And I teach and train educators, psychologists, counselors, therapists on trauma on every level, from acute trauma to chronic trauma, complex trauma, post-traumatic stress, and now even complex PTSD. I travel throughout the nation teaching and training individuals on how to help kids that struggle with trauma and brokenness of their and from their early childhoods of their life. I teach part one, trauma-informed care. A lot of people now, a lot of school districts are really trying to catch up on trauma-informed care. I also have a new training, which is part two to trauma-informed, and it's called trauma-responsive practices, which means that after you are informed, now what? The what is now, after all of this information of being trauma-informed, now we give you tools in your toolkit on how to be responsive to shift your culture and climate in your classroom. Another expertise is restorative practices. A lot of our schools, student code of conduct and rules and policies in schools is more punitive. And so therefore, this is the reason why we have a lot of high discipline in our schools. And a lot of times what happens is also kids of color begins to have disparities and disproportionate numbers versus their population in schools in regards to discipline and suspensions in school. And so my second expertise is restorative practice. My third would be bullying prevention. And so many people know, a lot of teachers, educators are familiar with my work with TUSD. I'm the bullying prevention specialist for Tucson Unified School District that is responsible for making sure that all of our kids are safe in regards to bullying at 87 schools, which is a lot of work, but a lot of fun as well. And so a lot of the extra works in dealing with culturally responsive practices, and also a lot of people know my mental health work, which can come from cognitive behavior therapy to mindfulness therapy to all the different things that Dr. Holt does. And so very fortunate today to be having a great topic on today. We're going to be talking about bullying prevention. And guess what? Today I have no guest today. Absolutely no guest. I am going solo. But you know what, John? I can handle it. I can handle it. This is my expertise. Many people know my work, working with schools, from doing student assemblies, coming in doing anti-bullying assemblies with 300-400 kids, high energy, high pack, to doing professional development, training teachers on how to recognize bullying, how to assist the victim when they say they are bullied, and also how to address the bystander and how to address the bully themselves. So today, again, we don't have any special guests. So guess who my special guest is going to be? It's going to be the community. So I want you to give me a call at 790-2040. This is a very hot topic. I know so many people that can relate to this. This discussion on today, talking about being bullied. Many kids have been bullied. Maybe you have been bullied. Maybe you've seen a fellow relative in your family, brother, sister, cousins been bullied. And bullying is just really, really big. And so it's going to be a great discussion today. It is very touching. Sometimes it can bring back bad memories. Sometimes I talk to adults that when I do bullying sessions, adults talk about how they were bullied at one point in time, and sometimes it still affects them today. And so today we're going to be talking about all kinds of level of bullying, the social emotional ramifications that come with bullying, the hot spots of bullying, all kind of different things today. So I want my callers to call. Please call in at 790-2040. We're talking about stop bullying. If your child is being bullied, you need to know what you need to do. Many complaints that I get from a lot of parents is, Dr. Hope, what do we do when we have tried to make it clear that our kids are being bullied, but the schools are not doing enough or not doing anything at all? And so that's a really, really great question. And so I know that some of you guys have probably have fallen into that scenario, unfortunately, and you're almost scared to death. And I get it. You know, parents, I'm a parent myself. Actually, my children are TUSD kids, and I get it. If your kid is being bullied and you feel once you drop them off at school, you're not sure if they're safe, you're not sure if they've been picked on, you're not sure if they're being harassed or being intimidated, I get it. You have to do something about it. So again, give us a call. If you've been bullied, you know someone been bullied, if your child has been bullied, and this is exactly what you've been waiting for, somebody to talk about this issue of bullying, what do I do, Dr. Hope? Give me a call, 790-2040. We're looking to hear from you today. And so getting into the topic about bullying, bullying is very, very serious. It's not something that we are to play with. I remember when I was coming up, we used to say sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And come to find out, that's not necessarily true. Bullying is very, very serious. Look like we got a caller already. That's what I'm excited about. Look like we have Ingrid on the line. How you doing? You're Higher Ground with Dr. Hope.
Oh, good morning. This is a subject that I've never heard addressed when it comes to bullying, whether it's children or adults.
Yeah.
It has to do with religion.
Okay.
The religious community can be very, very aggressive, as I'm sure you've seen and maybe even experienced.
Yeah.
And when children are, I'll put the word in quotes, bullied by teachers, it can be disastrous. I can recall a situation where there was an elementary school teacher whose husband was a preacher.
Okay.
And she always wore a cross on a long chain. And when she would lean over the student's desk to assist with some, you know, schoolwork or whatever,
yeah,
the cross would dangle right in front of the child's face.
Okay.
And when the family is not Christian or doesn't espouse the belief in any kind of supernatural being at all,
yeah,
this can be extremely distressing, and it's extremely aggressive. This kind of thing goes on. It also goes on with adults, because I've experienced this myself. I will get things tucked into my under the windshield wiper of the car.
Okay.
I have received mail, very offensive, scary, with colored photographs of weird birds and strange commentaries, sentences, or maybe 24 of them in one letter.
Okay.
What is the matter with the religious community that it can't stay in its own turf and stop bullying people around and scaring them, especially children? I'll hang up and listen to what you have to say, Doctor. Thank you very much, Mark.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for giving us a call today. Thank you. Yeah, so the answer to the question is, regardless of our beliefs, our faith persuasions, we do have to be careful. And we know the message of Christ is not to force or to do anything of that nature. And just to be clear, we just also want to make sure that when we say religious groups, that we're not speaking for all churches and all synagogues and all mosques and all different faith persuasions. But our approach always should have a love approach to it. And if people don't want to embrace that theology, you know, we just have to acknowledge that and pray for them, and we just move on. But regardless of our differences, we should always love everyone. That's what makes our nation a great nation. We are not the divided states of America. We are the United States of America. And the more that we find common ground to build off of, the more our communities, our families, our schools would be. But yes, we do have to be careful as adults, because sometimes when we are in supervisory or roles of authority, we have to make sure that the way that we approach children and our students, that it does not have a harassing or an intimidating type of flavor, or intimidating type of style of teaching in the classrooms. I'm a big believer that schools and classrooms most definitely should be a beacon of light for all children, regardless of where they come from, of their experiences, that our classrooms should be a place, an institution of learning where all our kids can get equity and get equality and be treated with dignity and with honor and respect. Thank you, Ingrid, for giving us a call. So I know we're getting close to our first break. And so we got a great topic on today. So I want you to stay tuned as we get deeper into talking about bullying. Callers, feel free to give us a call. I don't have a guest today, so give us a call. Let me hear your story about bullying. Call me at 790-2040. Rather, if you're a teacher, student, parent, I believe we all can relate to it. So let's go take a break. And you're listening to Higher Ground with Dr. Holt, and we'll be right back. Keep it. Oh, here we are. What's going on for Marvin Gaye? Listen, you're listening to Higher Ground with Dr. Holt. And again, we're having a great discussion talking about staying no to bullying and let's stop bullying of all forms. Listen, I don't have a special guest today, so the community is my special guest. So I know you're listening and you wonder, should I call? Shouldn't I call? Let's not be shy, guys. Get your word out. Let us hear your story. Believe it or not, perhaps what you went through or what your child has been through or going through could be some help to another family. And so I'm just a believer. It takes a village to make our community better. And so if you're listening and you're thinking about calling and wondering, should you call? Yes, you should call, because I just believe that we're better together. It helps us when we hear your stories. Perhaps some other parent is going through what you probably have been through, and they probably need some hope. They need some help. Some students perhaps out there, your child is out there going through a bullying situation right now, and you in the school is having a hard time trying to resolve this situation. I just believe that all kids should be safe in school. And so tell us your story. Give me a call, 790-2040, 790-2040. Listen, getting back to bullying, it's important to know that bullying, again, as I alluded to before we went on our first break, bullying is very serious. It's a very, very serious situation. It affects kids. It affects families. It affects the school climate. It affects the classroom culture. It affects most definitely the school district. Listen, I've been all over the place, and believe it or not, bullying prevention looks different from a lot of schools. Some schools are really strong on bullying. Some schools are moderate on bullying. Some schools just don't do anything about bullying at all. And listen, I will tell you that from my experience and my expertise, that allowing harassing and intimidation to go on in school does nothing but just erodes the school culture. It affects the victim. It affects them socially, emotionally, psychologically. It affects their self-esteem. I mean, you name it. And so just for you to know that when we talk about bullying, it's very important to understand more about bullying. So I'll give you a few stats, but also will help define what bullying is and what bullying is not. One, you need to know that bullying is real. According to our latest data, we find that 1 out of 4 kids have already been bullied. 1 out of 4 kids have already been bullied. And so perhaps your child may have not been bullied, but have a strong chance that they probably might be, depending on the strategies, the proactive strategies and bullying, anti-bullying initiatives that your school have and their stance on the policy. But again, 1 out of 4 kids have already been bullied. Now, we have a new form of bullying that is rising, and that's cyberbullying. Now, that's something different from when I went to school. We didn't have cyberbullying because we didn't have internet and we didn't have cell phones for us Gen X as we came up. So we didn't have that. Cell phones began to really boom late 90s, early 2000s, and at that point, we still didn't have a lot of the technologies, data and text messaging and things like that. So, yes, it's really tough for our schools as we deal with bullying. Another stat I would tell you is that not only one out of four kids have been bullied, but we are seeing an increase that more children are being bullied when they get into middle school. And I would tell you that that is true as being a practitioner in the field, as being an expert when I train other educators and administrators about bullying. That data is very, very true. A lot of the complaints and investigations that I get to help schools address bullying, a lot of them will come out of the high school, come from the 6th to 8th grade. Particularly, we see a lot of aggression among our kids as we began to see them matriculate into the 6th grade. And so that is very true. So the big question is, Dr. Holt, what is bullying? What is bullying? Well, I'm glad you asked. And so I'm going to tell you for free that bullying, as we defined it, as a policy and as a national type of definition, bullying is when someone is being harassed, is being intimidated with a malicious intent to harm on a repeated basis. Again, we define bullying as when someone is being harassed, intimidated, or picked on and mistreated with a malicious intent to harm, clearly trying to intimidate. And let me also throw this in as well, as we defined it, when there's an imbalance of power, which simply means that bullying is just not 1-on-1. Bullying can be 3-on-1. Bullying can be 7-on-2. And so where there's also an imbalance of power and it's on a repeated basis, then that's what we would qualify as bullying. Now, why is that important? Because a lot of times we're seeing also that there's an overly used buzzword of bullying, right? So a lot of parents say, my kid has been bullied, he's not getting along with such and such, or Johnny just got into it with Sally, and so my kid has been bullied. And really what's going on, sometimes what we see is when we investigate and start the investigation of the bullying complaint, and we gather the facts, we end up realizing that it wasn't bullying, it was more conflict, okay? So, and that's another thing too, is understanding what is bullying, how we defined it, what bullying is, what bullying is not. And sometimes if it's not bullying, most of the time it's probably gonna be conflict. The question is, rather if it's bullying or conflict, should we have both of those on the school campuses? And I tell you no, because it creates aggression, and it creates harassment, and then it creates tension. in the school culture. And most definitely, we can't have either or both. And when I'm doing training, a lot of people ask me, Dr. Ho, how can I tell the difference between bullying and a conflict? And I say, you know, that's a very good question, but I also have a great answer. I call it the two I's. This is how you can tell the difference between bullying and a conflict by the two I's. If it is irritation, it would be probably more on the conflict side. If it is intimidation, then it will be more on the bullying side. I'll say that again. If it's more on the irritation, it's more going to be conflict. Irritation means that there's two people, there's no power imbalance. The person didn't really try to just really hurt the person or devastate their world. It just had to be one of those bad days to where two people didn't get along and it escalated. No one de-escalated it and it turned into a conflict or may have turned into a fight, but not necessarily bullying. Even just because it's a fight doesn't mean it's bullying. It means it's a conflict and there's a element of aggression there. What turns it into bullying, number one, if there's a power imbalance where the other person has an up on the individual due to size or number of friends that's there to help jump into the fight. Now we can look at probably that's going to be bullying. Or if someone is constantly harassing someone and they keep telling them to knock it off, stop, but they just keep doing it, now you're dealing with a bullying situation. So that's how we kind of like define bullying and define conflict. When we also look at bullying, it's important to know that there's different facets or different components to bullying. Number one, I like to talk about is physical bullying. And obviously, that's kind of like the most obvious type of traditional form of bullying that we know of is the pushing, the hitting, the shoving, kicking someone or beating up someone and just constantly just being a terror in their life every single day. Again, remember when we talk about bullying, it has to have that repeated basis on it. It's nonstop. It's relentless. It's constantly. It's persistent. Just constantly throwing that kid up against the locker, pushing them down, things like that. That's what we would call physical bullying. But that's not the only form of bullying. Bullying have most definitely have upgraded throughout the years. Another form of bullying is what we would call verbal bullying, okay? And then I remember I was using that phrase when we came up, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never hurt me. Well, I come to realize that words do hurt, and words are probably create more of a wound than physical bullying. If a child gets bullied physically and there's a cut or a bruise, usually that can heal in a matter of a few days. But I've seen as a mental health professional that many individuals who have been bullied verbally, that has a more of a long-term ramification on individuals to where physical bullying you can heal from a matter of days, and I've seen verbal bullying take years for people to really recover just depending on the damage of what you say. Yes, I'm going to tell you right now that what you say to people, how you say it to people can be devastating. And can you harass and can you bully somebody with your words? Most definitely. When you're calling kids out of their name, when you're talking about how they dress, maybe their parents can't afford to buy designery skinny jeans. Maybe their parents can't afford to buy $200 worth of Jordans. Maybe their parents maybe cannot afford to buy all of these elaborate things. And so they're wearing what their parents can afford. But believe it or not, sometimes kids can be very, very mean and target kids on a verbal bullying basis and really talk down on people. What about somebody's weight size? What if someone is larger or maybe a young lady is very petite? Sometimes verbal bullying, people can be mean and say mean things based on how you look or because you wear glasses, or they say you may look like a nerd, or you're overweight, or you're underweight, you're this, or you're that, or whatever. Or we know when we get into teenage years and you become teenagers, sometimes you have a skin problem, you know, so you get acne. And, you know, so kids could just really be mean by talking about kids and tearing them down. So that's what we would call verbal bullying. How is it verbal bullying? Because it's repeated. If your person tell you to quit calling them out of their name, and they keep telling you to knock it off, quit talking about how I dress or saying mean things to me, yes, most definitely that has a bullying behavior. You're trying to maliciously hurt them with your words. You're harassing them with your words. And let me take verbal bullying to the next step. Also, what I've seen going into last year when I was looking at some investigations is that we began to see an increase of racial slurs as well. And so we began to see kids are called racial slurs. Yes, I would tell you there's been times where kids be mean with other kids and say the N-word to other kids. I got those complaints in some of our schools. Right now, we have a high climate with border issues and with English language learners in school and Latino families and separations and deportations. And say saying mean things to kids because of the color of their skin or their race and ethnicity is totally wrong. Whether it's African-American, whether it's a Latino, whether it's Native American or any kids that are different, we've seen that kids can be bullied. And so it's not just the physical bullying, but verbal bullying is very, very impactful on the negative. It has negative effects. It tears down the self-esteem of kids. And so I know this is some great information. I'm probably hitting on a lot of areas that you have went through or your child is going through or a particular family member or community member or a student. I want you to give us a call and share your story with us at 790-2040. Give us a call as we continue to talk about these brave conversations of bullying. It might have been you. And so I just believe that if we can come together, talk about it, we can be able to create healing in our schools. So we're going to get ready to take another break. But when we get back, we'll go forward more into talking about the different levels of bullying. You're listening to Higher Ground with Dr. Hope. Keep it locked. All right. We're back with Higher Ground with Dr. Hope. You're listening to Higher Ground with Dr. Holt on 1030 The Voice. Listen, we have a great discussion talking about bullying. We know that so many kids have been affected with bullying in our communities, locally and nationally. Just to recap, my name is Dr. Holt, and I am a bullying prevention expert as well. And so a lot of my mental health work dealing with trauma, dealing with restorative practices and dealing with bullying prevention. Many in the community know of my work working with Tucson Unified School District, working with our kids and doing what we can to keep them safe on all of our campuses in the school district. I also work for Metropolitan State University, our WEAC division, which is an equity center. And we travel throughout the nation helping school districts to address things like equity issues and illicit bias, making sure that there's more equitable opportunities for kids. We travel throughout 13 states on the West Coast, helping to deal with address bullying as well. So I also travel throughout the nation, helping school districts address bullying and help them to build a comprehensive and robust bullying program throughout our nation. And so these are some of the things that you get to see a lot as you help individuals. I do independent investigations as well. So, for example, if a parent come in and say, my child has been bullied, and I told the teacher, and it's been 2 months now, nothing is getting done. I had meetings with principals, nothing is getting done. Usually I'm the one that would be called to come in and to help facilitate that, far as assisting with the investigation, make sure that we're gathering the facts, make sure that we're communicating with the parents, because that was one of the big things too, is that sometimes parents was not included in the investigation, so they can know what in the world is going on, and rightfully so, because I would be upset too if I felt that my kid was not safe. And so that's some of the work that I do. And so I see a lot, and you see that as a social, emotional, and mental health professional and a behavioral health professional, this really, really affects kids. And so going forward, talking about bullying, another thing about bullying is not just there's physical bullying, not just that there's verbal bullying, but there's also what we would call gender bullying, right? So believe it or not, when we look at our data, we see that boys bully different from girls. And what we see in our data is that boys have more of a direct bullying and it's usually more physical. And then we look at the young ladies, we see how females bullying, it's more indirect and it's more psychological. So I go for a little bit for dig deeper in that. And so boys usually bully more with the physicality. There's a lot of pushing and aggression physically. But when we looked at girls, we saw, obviously we know girls can fight. Most definitely. I've seen some girls. They can really throw down, make no mistake. But mostly the females, on the way that they bully in a psychological way, it was about manipulating friendships. It was about exclusion. And that was devastating for a lot of victims, a lot of female victims, when they would lose friends because of the way that females are bullied, or also rumors being started. Girls was really, really good on doing that. Sometimes boys would get involved with that as well, but we saw that there was a higher trend of females when they bullied that way, and that, which kind of opens the door to online bullying, which we call cyberbullying. And that's what take me to my next one, is cyberbullying, because cyberbullying now is up on a trend. We're seeing that more kids now, a lot of kids are getting bullied and harassed online. So what makes it cyber? Cyber is because they use technology. They use a phone. They can use a computer. They can use a tablet. Anything that can transmit communication. And they use text messaging, emailing. They can use social media. We've seen kids get bullied off of Snapchat and Instagram and Facebook, so many different types of social medias, accounts, and platforms. And it gets tough because a lot of kids, believe it or not, they feel like they don't want to go to school. I mean, because now it's spread it all over. And this is also a type of bullying that sometimes it's hard to manage because it's not necessarily on school campus. You can you can bully someone online pretty much anywhere. But yet still you need to investigate it. You still need to communicate with parents and let them know what's going on. You still need to let the victim know that we're going to gather all of our resources and do everything in our power to protect you so that you can be safe. And then at the end of the day, we still have to figure out how do we address the aggressor and address the bullying. All right. Look like we have a caller on the line. Look like we have Paul. Paul, good morning. Welcome to Higher Ground with Dr. Holt. What's your comment?
Hi, my comment. Yeah, my wife is a teacher, and I've got several grandchildren here in TUSD. And I tell you, the boys are really comment to me quite often about a lot of the female teachers, and maybe male too, but mostly female teachers that refer to the girls as young ladies or ladies.
Okay.
Believe me, I have a lot of girls too.
Yeah.
But and the boys, they refer to them in some kind of a slur as guys or, you know, the things such as that. Why don't they call ladies and gentlemen? Is there something wrong with that? That's a form of bullying. Because my boys talk about it.
You raise up a good point. Thank you for your comment, Paul. So, Paul, yeah, you make a great point. When we go into classrooms, one of the trainings that I do, dealing with bullying prevention, and I do professional development training with teachers and counselors and administrators, is that, believe it or not, and let me say this first because I don't want people to get upset. Let me get my disclaimer out there. My disclaimer is we have some great teachers, some great educators that are really doing some great, great work and impactful transformational work with some of our kids. They are making a difference. They are planting those seeds, and we are seeing kids blossom from those, from that education and from that experience and from those relationships. But however, I must say in my work that can teachers be bullies? Can educators have a bullying type of behavior? And I would tell you yes. And I believe that sometimes kids have been triggered from the classroom. Again, I'm not saying all teachers, because I know we got some excellent teachers out there that is going above and beyond the call of duty, and I salute you. God bless you. But I will tell you, in my field of work, that there are times where kids get triggered, and kids do get picked on directly, and sometimes indirectly. Sometimes I've seen some teachers really get aggressive to themselves, and sometimes they need training as well. They need to know, they need to learn to have better classroom management, better de-escalation tactics, and things of that nature. But however, the indirectly is sometimes can be bullied too. What do you mean by that, Dr. Holt? I've seen where teachers not necessarily not directly aggressive, but indirectly fire. As if a kid asks a question and want to learn, or more have want to learn more about math, or maybe it's a certain chapter or a certain problem that they want to get addressed so they can perform better in school. And if the teacher make a use a sarcastic remark and make everybody laugh at them, and they constantly sarcastic towards kids, believe it or not, emotionally kids shut down. They were like, my God, if I got to go through that, I'm not asking anything ever again. And next thing we know, we began to see grades began to decline, and they began to get disengaged in the classroom. And not just with educators. That could be any faculty, staff member. So we just have to be careful to make sure that we're not having those bullying behaviors in the classroom, and it's not coming from adults. It's our job to make sure our kids are really, really safe. One question that was brought to me, my producer, John, had asked me on our break, which is a really, really good one, in regards to the bully. What happens to the bully? What do we do with the bully? And how in the world did the bully get aggressive anyway? So we're going to come back after my next break. But when we come back, we're going to be talking about that. You're free to give us a call. I know this is a great topic, a sensitive topic, but we want to hear your story. We learn so much better when we hear from you guys out in the community. So give us a call at 790-2040, and let's talk about it. Again, we're going to our break. You are listening to Higher Ground with Dr. Holt. Keep it locked. We'll be right back. All right. This is Higher Ground with Dr. Holt. We're talking about a great discussion, powerful discussion, talking about bullying. Listen, guys, we got about 15 minutes more on the show, so we want you to give us a call. I want to hear a little bit more from y'all. I expected to hear a little bit more, especially talking about this topic, because I get so many people that want to reach out and tell me their story, ask for help, what they need to do in regards to getting that intervention that they need at their schools. And so we were talking about what makes a bully a bully, which is a great question. And so we've seen that a lot of kids that become aggressive have been exposed to a lot of violence themselves. They have been exposed to violence to them. They've been exposed to seeing a lot of domestic violence. They've seen community violence. And believe it or not, sometimes kids have been bullied by their own siblings. And so many times they bring that pain and that brokenness to school. I'm a big believer of the saying, hurting people hurt people. And so the reason why people hurt people or inflict harm and pain on other individuals or on other students or kids is because they've been hurt. They've been broken. They've been experiencing pain. And so, sometimes kids come to school and they're aggressive. We're also seeing kids come from preschool into kindergarten be a little aggressive and show some bullying behaviors as well. It gets really interesting when we begin to look at bullying and harassing and intimidation. We've even seen kids as young as kindergartens and preschoolers come into school, public education, and they are already aggressive and on fire. And we have to really help them through that process of not being bullies and respecting each other and being kind to one another. One of the things I want to get out to is when we talk about bullying is I want you to be aware of the hot spots, okay? Bullying hot spots. What is that? What is a hot spot? A bullying hot spot are areas where there's not a lot of adults, not a lot of supervision. So it's kind of like blind spots on school campuses where kids are kind of like know that they can get away with certain areas. And so bullying is the same way. And some of those hot spots you need to be aware of as parents are, is that bullying hot spots excuse me, can be the playground. Sometimes kids know the blind spots of playgrounds where there are adults and where there are not any adults. And so sometimes kids get bullied on a playground. So be aware of that. Cafeterias is one. Bathrooms, certainly. Sometimes in the hallways can be a hot spot. Another hot spot is kids walking to and from school. And believe it or not, we forget this one, but yes, the bus. Kids do get bullied on the bus because a lot of kids like to run to the back when they get on the bus. And where's the driver? Up in the front trying to drive and pay attention so they don't see a lot. And if they don't have a bus attendant to help them, sometimes we see kids as well get bullied on the bus. And so these are some of the hot spots that you need to be aware of in regards to your kid being harassed. Let me talk about also the psychological ramifications of bullying. We also seen that kids that are being bullied that is not addressed, that is not where they don't feel safe. There's no interventions. We see kids begin to suffer psychologically. It impacts them emotionally. It impacts them mentally. It impacts them academically. What happens is when kids are being bullied and they are harassed, we also begin to see those psychological ramifications that's similar to mental health situations, such as depression. Depression is really high on victims that are depressed, that are bullied, excuse me. When kids feel that they are not getting any help and no one is looking out for them, yes, it affects them emotionally to the point that they feel depressed. Another one is anxiety, which means that they are afraid to go to school. They are fearful to go to school. They put up a fight not to even go to class. Why? Because they've been bullied. And unfortunately, one of the worst case scenarios, let me hit another one, is I've worked with some young ladies that cut themselves as well because it's kind of like an outcry that I'm feeling pain. And unfortunately, some kids, unfortunately, have committed suicide in regards to being bullied and not enough intervention or no intervention. So it gets really serious when we talk about bullying, and I need to make sure, and we need to make sure that our kids are safe. All right, we got a caller online. Hey, Mace, how are you, sir?
Doing well. How you doing today?
Good, good, good. Thank you for calling in.
Well, I tell you, I work at a school. I've been a teacher 27 years. Last year, bullying was a big problem in TUSD, and I'm sure it still is.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we're only halfway into the first quarter.
Yeah.
But part of the problem is that teachers, it's not that they're ill-equipped. It's that the rules have changed so much in what we're allowed to do and what we're not allowed to do. Like, last year, you know, most bullying issues were considered level one.
Right.
Until it happened again and again and again.
Yeah.
At
yeah.
some point, TUSD said, well, the problem is that the teachers haven't been trained in the Code of Conduct Handbook. No, if you have to retrain everybody in the Code of Conduct Handbook after three quarters, it's not the problem of the teachers. It's the problem of the Code of Conduct Handbook sucks.
Yeah.
And our hands are tied.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
We could talk about bullying all we want, but until we're allowed to hold kids accountable for any action they do, we're not going to accomplish anything.
Any suggestions that you would like to see as an educator?
Well, one is look at Code of Conduct Handbooks at districts where it seems to be working.
Okay.
That's a good step. You know, steal the ideas of other districts, and it's not really stealing. You know, take their ideas that work and use it.
Yeah.
You know, listen to the teachers. Like, TUSD is under, like, a special magistrate or under, like, you know, the Justice Department as far as Code of Conduct Handbook because of a lawsuit that happened 40 years ago.
Right.
None of those people are still in the district anymore. How are you holding us accountable for something that happened 40 years ago?
Right. No, good point, sir. I appreciate your call. Always glad to hear you call in.
Thank you.
All right, sir. Yeah, so you're exactly right. You know, we have to do more to make sure that our kids are safe at school and in the classrooms. And again, how do we address bullying? You know, how do we address the bully? What happens when we see kids that are being aggressive? And we have to have better approaches to addressing bully and addressing the bully. Certainly not, you know, not just punitive, but restorative. You know, when we focus on when we hurt someone, we bully someone, we need to take it the initiative and understand it and be honest that we hurt that person, and not just hurt the person, but and violated the policy, but we hurt the relationship. And what do we do to bring reconciliation to restore that relationship? So we have to look at also not just the victim and the bully. What about the bystander? Well, we have to empower the bystander. We have to let them know that we're saying no to bullying. No to all forms of bullying, regardless of cyber, physical, verbal, psychological. We're saying no to bullying because it affects our, it affects self-esteem. It affects the individual. Look, I've got another call on the line, just in the nick of time. Look like we got Charles at, on higher ground. How you doing, sir?
Good, and good program. I like your new format here. I was going to tell you that we had a terrible bully named Donnie. I won't use his last name, but... Okay. Donnie was a horrible bully, and okay. Most people were afraid of him, except for one fella named Mike, who was the son of a Chicago police officer.
Okay.
And one time Donnie tried to steal his lunch, and Mike held the lunch a little far away from him, so he had to reach with his right hand, and
right.
Mike was left-handed.
Right.
And he socked Donnie so hard in the gut that it doubled him over, and he fell on the ground.
Wow.
And he says, next time you try that on me, when you're on the ground, I will kick you until you can't ever walk again.
Hmm.
And... Donnie left him alone for the next 6 years of grade school. In fact, walked around him when Mike walked down the hallway. It was very effective.
Wow.
And if we taught our children how, if we are physically threatened, to physically dominate, we would have no bullying.
Thank you for your call.
You're welcome, sir.
Yes, and those are extraordinary situations, you know, because a lot of times, too, what we have, and we do have to be careful, so because we know that retaliation can happen. And we just stir up a lot of things. Yeah. But we do, in extraordinary circumstances, do have to protect ourselves and defend ourselves. But the big thing we want to do is bring wholeness and bring safety to our platform. We're getting close to the end of the show, so I wanted to make sure I threw this in here. Talking about bullying, is that what do I do if my child is bullied? You know, I think that's a great way to close out. He's talking about what are some steps that I need to be looking into as a parent or as a teacher. You know, number one, if a child says they bullied, you know, believe them. Okay, if they say they are bullied, believe them. Let the facts tell the truth. The last thing we do is want to be nonchalant, not take the complaint serious. The next thing we know, the kid is in a worse situation because we did not pay attention and treat that complaint as serious as it should be. Number two, I would advise especially educators or principals, please call the parent. Will you please let the parent know what's going on? Yes, I don't blame parents that want to come up to the school and be ticked off at the world and upset because nobody told them anything. The kid come home with bruises and cuts all over their face. Yeah, so that's another thing, too. Please include parents in this situation so that they can be on board and you can have a partner in this situation, because I don't blame parents. Yes, I would be upset, too, if this has been going on and nobody haven't sat down and talked with me. And so the next steps you need to be talking to witnesses, if there are any witnesses. You need to constantly be letting the parent know, giving them updates where we are. We need to look at protecting the victim. And believe it or not, sometimes that meant that we had to change classes. Sometimes that means you had to change the seating arrangement. And then sometimes you have to even call the bully parents to get them involved as well so they can know what's going on. So again, you know, those are some great stuff we can look at in regards to addressing bullying. And that's all reactive. The proactive thing on how to get a grip on bullying is messaging, is standing up against bullying, teaching kids to be kind, to embrace our differences. Just because we're different don't mean we have to be divided as a community and as a school. But just know that bullying is very serious, and we ought to take it very, very serious. And it do have long-term effects. I've seen even adults be affected by bullying after graduating high school from 20, 30 years ago. So this is how serious bullying is. And yeah, it does. It gets people upset. It gets them fired up because we just don't want our kids to be harassed. And so if you, and look, another thing I want to throw out there real quickly is look for the signs of bullying, which means if kids are more withdrawn, they're staying in their room all day, they don't come out as much, or if they show that they're afraid to go to school, these are some good signs that you maybe want to look into. Are they being bullied or something's going on? But listen, we're running out of time. This has been a great show. If you have any further questions, feel free to email me on my show's email. It is higherground1030@gmail.com. So I know just an hour, we possibly cannot cover all of this in an hour show, but feel free to email me if you have any additional comments or questions or some helps on intervention, how to help my child. Email me at higherground1030@gmail.com. Listen, it's been great today. Awesome topic. Thank you, callers, for calling in. Thank you for being brave. If your child has been bullied, please tell somebody. Don't let your kid go to school for a whole semester or for the whole school year and constantly be harassed. I just want to say thank you to my good friend Danny Nee, who's my sponsor with Community Investment Corporation that sponsors this show. Thank you so much. Want to also just continue even in our community, the African-American community, the IMA Town Hall. We meet every third Mondays at the Dunbar at 5:30. If you want to come out and get involved, please feel free to get involved. We want you to be a solution to a lot of our city's situations and problems. The answer is in the community, and so we invite you to come. So if you want to get involved with the IMA CAT, I have the distinguished pleasure of being the president of the IMA. Feel free to get involved. Again, every third Monday at 5:30, we meet at Dunbar. We have 8 domains that you can get involved in. Also, finally, just want to give a shout out to Metro State University, WEAC. That is also the team I'm a part of that do equity throughout the nation. And finally, I just want to give a shout out to the Pilgrim Rest Missionary Baptist Church, where I serve as their shepherd and pastor. And if you don't have a place to worship, feel free to come out and worship us every Sunday at 10 a.m. at the Pilgrim Rest Missionary Baptist Church off of 36 in Campbell. Well, this is the end of our show. We see you next Saturday. You're listening to Higher Ground with Dr. Holt. You have a fabulous weekend and a Labor Day weekend.